No, I didn't die. It was a, we were doing a, this is on, right? I did turn it on. Okay, cool. We were at the conference center, and there was a conference there, and everybody was getting sick. I think it was around December, so like around Christmas time, and we were just dropping like flies. Just every one of the staff, we were all getting sick, and I think I had passed out. I was one of the last ones and had passed out. And then Jeremy was also, you were already sick at that point, but then you had to call because there was nobody else left to call. So I think I just overworked myself. We were trying to get that that conference sorted. Well, as Jeremy said, I'm David. My wife, Becky, she is actually from this region. She's actually over, she was born in Oklahoma. And we're visiting her parents over in Oklahoma and thought, well, it'd be nice to see Jeremy and Christy. Haven't seen them for such a long time. I think the last time we saw each other was 2006, 2007 in Hungary. We were missionaries. We've been missionaries since 96. We were in Germany for almost 11 years. And we came back to the U.S. and I pastored a Spanish fellowship in California for a year and a half and handed it over to the next pastor. Then we moved to New Zealand, pastored a Calvary there for the last 10 years, and we just came back here. When was it? March? Is that March? Yeah, we came back here. We were actually on our way to Nepal, where we will be teaching at a Calvary Bible school there, but because of the pandemic, we're kind of stuck here in Nepal on lockdown, and nobody's getting in except for Nepali citizens at the moment. So here we are in the U.S., and we're making the most of this time, connecting with friends and family from just years ago, and just the great opportunity to be able to be here with you. I find it a privilege to be able to share at Jeremy's church and the Lord's church, but obviously Jeremy as your pastor. So if I can get that slide up. So we have some prayer cards if you want to know more information about us and about what we're doing and what we will be doing in Nepal. I'll share a little bit of it as part of the message, but just if you want more information, you can sign up for our newsletter there, or just email us and we will get the information out to you in our latest newsletter. Okay, we do the newsletter maybe about once every 2 to 3 months, so it's not a whole lot, maybe 3-4 times a year. And just to be able to share with people what the Lord's put on our heart and what the Lord's doing in and through us. And so our family, we have 4 children. Our oldest, well, they're all pretty much about the same age as your kids, Jeremy, Christy. So I get this right, 20, 18, 15, and 13. Okay. All right, so I'm done with that. Our 2 oldest ones are still in New Zealand, so we have dual citizenship. We have American, obviously, and then New Zealand citizenship. So our 2 oldest ones are in the, New Zealand. One is in university there, the oldest, and then the second one is at the Bible school there, the Calvary Bible school there in New Zealand. She's doing a semester and then wants to join the military. And our 2 younger ones are here with us. Well, they're over in Oklahoma at the moment. All right, so that's us. If you want more information, pick up one of these. Email us. There's an email on there. You can also scan the code on the back and go and sign up for our newsletter. Okay? All right. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 89, and we'll be looking at just a few verses here in Psalm 89. Now, when I look back at our last 23, 24 years of marriage and also of missions work, the one thing that stands out to me, the one thing that I'm always kind of amazed at, is how faithful God has been. His faithfulness in leading, in providing, in just protecting and using us in different areas of the world, in different types of ministries. And that's what I want to touch on this morning, is God's faithfulness. And I say touch on because when you think about it, God's faithfulness is such a vast attribute that you really cannot cover it in, you know, the half an hour, 35 minutes that we have here. I'm not going to do a deep dive into the theological aspects of it, but more of just kind of an overview, a few insights that we have here in Psalm 89. So let's pray, and then let's jump in here in just a couple verses here in Psalm 89. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to share in your word together, that we receive it together, Lord, and that we respond to it together. We ask that you would open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes to see and hear all that you have for us through your word this morning. Holy Spirit, we pray, fill us anew this morning so that we can receive all that you have. We thank you, Father, for this fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for these believers. We thank you for the church here. And we ask, Lord, that you would use each one of us to further your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, just a little bit of context. Here in Psalm 89, this the psalmist Ethan is talking about, is writing about God's faithfulness to King David. Right? He's talking about the Davidic covenant. How, you remember how David wanted to build God a temple, a house, right? God said no. Then he said, you know, you're not going to build it, David, but I'm, you know, one of your sons, Solomon, is going to build it. And then God said something that was very interesting. He says, you're not going to build me a house, but I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build you a dynasty. You know, from your line, from your genealogy, will come the Messiah. And that's what we see fulfilled in the New Testament, that Jesus, the Messiah, from the line of David, will eventually sit on the throne when he comes back the second time. And so this psalm is talking about God's faithfulness in keeping that covenant. And we're just going to be looking at verses 8, oh, kind of go in reverse, looking at verse 8, verse 2, and then verses 1 and 5 together, talking about God's faithfulness. Let's look at verse 8. It says here, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. And I find it interesting that the psalmist then just brings out all of these titles and descriptions of who God is. Right? The Lord that in Hebrew is Yahweh. Right? The I am who I am. God is this Elohim. And the God of hosts, of Sabaoth, the God of the heavenly hosts, God's army, talking about how mighty he is there in the second part. And then again, O Lord at the end, Yah, right, the shortened name, the shortened version of Yahweh. So all these descriptions and titles, right, are pointing to how powerful, how sovereign, how mighty God is, that he is over all of creation. And yet, it is this God who enters into a covenant with King David. This God who is above all creation enters into this promise, this covenant with King David, and by extension, with all mankind. And he is faithful to fulfill that covenant. That's what the psalmist is writing about here. He says, because your faithfulness also surrounds you. Right? God's faithfulness surrounds us, envelops us completely. That word faithfulness there is also translated in our Bibles, steady, fidelity, certainty, firmness, stability, true, truthfulness. All those are related to this word faithfulness. And the idea of it surrounding God is like he's wearing a belt of faithfulness. You remember the spiritual armor, the belt of truth? It's the same idea, right? That word faithfulness can also be translated truth or truthfulness, the belt of truth, the belt of faithfulness. It girds God. In fact, all of the other attributes of God actually hang upon this attribute of God's faithfulness. Do we have any police officers here in your fellowship? You have a utility belt, don't you? And all of your equipment basically hangs on that utility belt. You know, your weapon, your mags, your handcuffs, and whatever else. You know, your flashlight. It all hangs on that utility belt. Or you think about this as God's faithfulness that girds him, and all of the other attributes of God hangs on that faithfulness, right? That belt of faithfulness, that belt of truth. His might, his love, his grace, his mercy, his sovereignty, his power, all of this hangs on his faithfulness. If he were not faithful, none of those other attributes of God would really be possible, right? See, so there's not one day, one minute, or one second that God is not faithful to me, to you, to all of us, to this world, to his plan of salvation, to himself. God is always faithful. It surrounds him. You know, the first time that this word faithfulness is used is in Exodus chapter 17. You remember then? Joshua was down in the valley fighting with the Amalekites. Moses is up on the hill. Aaron and Hur are by his side. And if Moses holds his hands up with the staff or the rod, then the Jews down in the valley, they win the battle. If his hands start getting tired and they start dropping, then the Jews down in the valley start to lose. So Aaron and Hur, they prop him up on a stone and they hold up his hands. And it says that his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And that word steady is actually the word faithfulness. His hands were stable, were firm, were faithful until the going down of the sun. That's the first time we see this word here in the Bible. In the Old Testament, 49 times it occurs. 22 of those times right here in the Psalms. The psalmists are praising and singing and glorifying God for his faithfulness, his truth, his steadfastness. God is faithful even when we don't believe he is. Even when we turn away from him. Even when we reject him. He is still faithful. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes that he is faithful even when we are faithless. He remains faithful. It is who he is. His faithfulness surrounds him. But let me take that a little bit further. By application, his faithfulness also surrounds us. He wraps us in his faithfulness. I don't know about you, but that brings joy and comfort and security to my heart. You know? In New Zealand, one of my tent-making job, I was a pastor down there, but I was also teaching elementary school. So I taught first through third grade. I had mostly the third graders. But there was another girl in another class, and she was often in my class. Her sister was in my class, so she was often in my class. And she's on the spectrum. But she has this blanket. It's a weighted blanket. And when she gets anxious, and she carries it around with her most of the time. And when she gets anxious, when she gets scared, or just feeling uneasy, she wraps herself in that weighted blanket. And I don't know if you've ever felt a weighted blanket. It's a lot heavier than I thought it was. You know, it's like, wow, I didn't realize how heavy this thing is. But when she wraps herself in that and it surrounds her and she sits down in a corner, it brings comfort and peace and assurance to her. How much more God's faithfulness as it surrounds us, right? The comfort and the peace and the security and the assurance that we have that God is faithful. Well, think, how has God been faithful to us? Just this experience of God's faithfulness. How has He been faithful to us? Well, this weekend, the Razorbacks won, right? Right? God's been faithful. Through our trials, He's been faithful, even when we might not think so. In our needs, He's provided, maybe in different ways than we expected. In bringing comfort and peace when we most need it. But even if you say, no, 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 none of that, let me tell you this. In letting His Son, Jesus, come to earth to go to the cross, to die for us, He has been faithful. Every step of the way, God has been faithful. You know, it's something that we sometimes take for granted. And we don't think a whole lot about. But God has always been faithful. Because it's who He is. Right? He cannot be unfaithful. He wouldn't be God if He were unfaithful. His faithfulness surrounds Him. And it surrounds us. And that should bring comfort and peace to our heart. I'm sorry, I keep on hitting this. I'm not used to having it right here. Verse 2. It says here, the psalmist writes, "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens." And I find that interesting, that it's not established here on earth where things decay, where things change on a daily basis. Where there is uncertainty, where there is loss and hurt here on earth. You know, you think of just what's going on in our world today. You know, the storms that are coming in in the south there. You think of the fires out in the west coast. You think of the violence and unrest that our country is experiencing. You think of this pandemic. All of this. But does that negate God's faithfulness? No, absolutely not. You know, we think of us personally. Our plan was to be here in the U.S. until June. We were going to come back for March, April, May, and then in June, head on over to Nepal. Well, here we are in, what is this, October, and we're still here in the U.S. We haven't been able to move on to our next mission field yet. Is God not faithful then? No, He still is, right? God's faithfulness is as eternal and permanent as He is. Because it's established in heaven, where He dwells. It's to us, it's faithfulness to us, to you, to this world. It's firmly and permanently established in heaven. His faithfulness can be counted on 100%. It's 100% reliable. And because God is perfect, His faithfulness is also perfect. All that He says, all that He does, all that He is perfect, and it is certain, and it is true. Every promise that He makes will come to pass. Every plan that He has ordained will be worked out. He is faithful. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen in Christ Jesus. All of them. Not just a few. Not just the one that God wants or that we like, but all of His promises are yes and amen. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but in some theology books, the attribute of God's faithfulness is included in with His truthfulness. And the thinking goes like this, is God does not lie. The Bible tells us that. Right? God does not lie. So He's always truthful. If He's always truthful, He always keeps His word. And if He always keeps His word, then He is faithful. Okay? So, He is faithful. I like what Spurgeon says. He says that God's faithfulness is established in the heaven because that's the birthplace of truth. And their faithfulness, he writes, dwells in eternal vigor. You think of heavens, right? What's the sign of the covenant? All the way back in Genesis. Remember that? The rainbow. Where's the rainbow? Do you see the rainbow on the ground? No, it's in the heavens. Right? The rainbow is in the heavens. It's established there. It's a sign of God's covenant to the world, to creation, that he's not going to destroy it like the flood, or with the flood. So like the rainbow, God's faithfulness is enthroned, as Spurgeon writes, enthroned in immutable glory in heaven. I love that. His faithfulness is enthroned in heaven. The application for us is that that it's firmly established in every life situation that we will ever face. Every situation that we have faced, are facing, will face in the future, God's faithfulness is there for us. You know, as sinful people, me the chief sinner, I would say, as Paul, we will definitely fail. We will disappoint people. We will fall. We will sin. We will make mistakes. We will not keep our words at times. That's just our fallen nature. But God is faithful. Every promise is yes and amen. So think of the situations you're in. I don't know what situations you're in. You know, those of you who are online, I don't know what situation you're in. But I can tell you this, God is faithful. Always. Because his faithfulness is established in the very heavens. The dwelling place of God himself, the birthplace of truth and faithfulness itself. His faithfulness surrounds us, and it is established in heaven. So in this psalm also we see, what should our response be? Right? What should our response be? When we experience God's faithfulness, like we have over the last 23 years in missions, how should we respond? And we see a couple indications of that here. If you look with me at verse 5 first, it says, "And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints." Now, the assembly of the saints there could also be translated the assembly of the Holy One. So, most likely referring to the angels in heaven and also of the saints that are already in heaven. So, think about it. The angels and the heavenly saints praise God for his faithfulness in keeping the covenant to David. They're worshiping him for his faithfulness. Now, if all of heaven is worshiping and praising God for his faithfulness, shouldn't we even more? Shouldn't we praise him and worship him for his faithfulness in fulfilling his plan of salvation so that we can be here and call ourselves children of God? Absolutely. We praise with grateful hearts. We praise with loving hearts. We praise with humble hearts. You know, think about this. Every time that we sing like we did today, and we praise God, and every time we sing and praise God for his faithfulness, I think it was that very first song that talks about his sureness. God's love is sure. It's faithful. Every time that we sing and praise God for his faithfulness, we're singing and praising with heavenly angels and saints. We're joining in with them. So we are to praise. Heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. So we praise God. That's how we can respond. We praise and we thank him for his faithfulness. But then also look at verse 1. It says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations." The psalmist here is proclaiming God's faithfulness to all generations. Literally, it says generation and generations, but also an extension to all peoples. The psalmist says, I will with my mouth tell others about God's faithfulness. You know, we were staying at a hotel here, just down the street here. And maybe he's watching. So if you're watching, the assistant manager out there is a Christian, and he is in between churches. And I asked him, can you print out this message, that my notes here that I'm preaching tomorrow? And we got talking. He goes, oh, it's about God's faithfulness. You know? And so if you guys go and talk with him, so he's the assistant manager out there. And he said he works the night shift, so he doesn't get off until 6 or 7 in the morning, so it's hard for him to get to church sometimes, because then he's just so wiped out when he's off church or off work. But the next time you go in there, talk with him. You know, he's wanting to experience God's faithfulness. You know, and that's our calling. I need to wrap it up here. You know, over these last 23, 24 years, we've had the privilege of proclaiming God's faithfulness as we were out there on the mission field. In Germany at first, then in California, in New Zealand, and now on our way down to Nepal. God's faithful. You know, some of you might know this. I know that Jeremy and Christy know that. In New Zealand, I had the privilege of donating my kidney to somebody there in New Zealand. And this person was not a believer at first when I donated to them. And over the years, it's been 9 years now, I've been meeting with him, talking with him. His wife is in our church, but he wasn't coming to church. And just 3-4 years ago, he accepted the Lord. And he said, y'all, God's been faithful over these years. Even when I've had my ups, and he's got other medical issues also. He says, God's been faithful. And now he is a child of God. You know, and kidney might work, might not work for him. But he says, it doesn't matter. God's faithful. I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters. You know, and now he's coming to church. He's actually growing quite rapidly in church, you know, in the fellowship. God's been faithful every step of the way. And now as we move on to our next mission field, serving at the Calvary Bible School there, the Bible College there in Nepal, we get to share God's faithfulness again in a new setting. Share His faithfulness. One of the ministries that the Bible College is involved in is the city slums. So I went to visit there last year, and we got to visit the slums, and there's a, you know, you think of what slums are. These people are living just in cardboard and wooden shacks and shanties, basically. And yet there's a small little church there, and the pastor there, actually I think he has, his main church is somewhere else, but he has a small church there that he also ministers to these people. And he runs a little kind of homework club after school each weekday. And all the children who live there come, and we, as the Bible College, we come and we minister, we help with their homework, we, you know, bring some snacks for them. It was just a privilege to be able to share God's faithfulness with them. The Bible College is also involved in a leprosy camp. So there's leprosy in India and Nepal is very prevalent. And so there's a colony, a camp that the Bible School goes to and ministers to these people who are outcasts of society. You know, they have to stay away from others. We get to share God's faithfulness with them. There's the Bible School is also involved as another ministry that they are part of, is that there's a home for trafficked girls in the area. So I got to visit there also and share God's faithful. You know, no matter what situation you find yourself in, God's faithful. And we're setting up, the college there is in the process of setting up a pastor training center for those pastors and ministry leaders who cannot come to the Bible school, we're going to go to them. We're going to spend a week in their area doing intensive study and training for them. And I get to share with them. We get to share with them God's faithfulness. You know, Nepal is mostly Hindu. It's only 1.5% Christian. So there's a great need there to share of God's faithfulness. First and foremost, of sending His Son Jesus Christ, His plan of salvation. God's faithful in doing that. You know, I got some testimonies from some of the pastors that we'll be ministering to and some of the staff who are on staff there at the Bible school, the Nepali staff, and seeing their background and what they came out of, Hinduism, Buddhism, witchcraft, idolatry, paganism. God's been faithful every step of the way. So we get to proclaim with our mouths God's faithfulness, but we also proclaim with our actions, with our very lives. We will be walking, talking, breathing testimonies of God's faithfulness. But so are you, right here in Rogers, right here in Bentonville, right here in your hometown. You are living, walking, breathing testimonies of God's faithfulness. So praise Him, thank Him, but also share that with others, as I know that you are doing. I want to end with this, just one last quote. The unchanging faithfulness of God, forever reliable and firm, is a glorious treasure to believers. Even when God's people have been unfaithful to Him, He remains faithful to them. Herein is true comfort for all saints. God will never deny us, never disappoint us, never desert us. All His promises are yes and amen. All of His plans are immutable and eternal. Great is His faithfulness because of the power He wields to keep His word. May all God's people anchor themselves to Him alone, who is perfectly faithful in all things at all times. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are faithful at all times, in all ways. And Father, forgive us in those times when we doubt that, when we perhaps don't see it, don't experience it, and we think that You're not faithful, that You're not there. Forgive us. Remind us. Help us, Lord, to turn to You, to ask You to fill our hearts with belief that You are faithful to Yourself, to Your plan of salvation, to us. And we thank You. We pray Your blessing upon each person here, each person who is watching online. We ask, Father, that You would work in and through them today, this week, this month, this year, that they can thank You for Your faithfulness, but also, Lord, that they can go out and share of who You are, Your faithfulness to them, who You are, and Your faithfulness to this world. And Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to go to the cross for each one of us, to redeem us, to bring forgiveness to us, and we praise You for that. We thank You for that. It's in Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I hand it back to Jeremy. Where did he go? Oh, there he is. It's like the rapture.
Thank you so much. So you guys know our custom during COVID, our COVID custom, just a few minutes, you're going to be excused, which means get out of here, right? So we can like decontaminate the room and all those kinds of things. I will say this, though, the FAMs will be at the information counter in the entryway, so talk with them, get one of these prayer cards, information cards, and you guys also know this, Calvary Chapel people, I mean, this is like our Calvary thing, we don't ask for money. If you want to give, man, go crazy. Like, you're actually welcome to give. There's a box in the back and all that. You're welcome to do it. We don't ask. But as an ex-missionary myself, I'm always happy to ask on behalf of other missionaries. So if the Lord's put anything on your heart and you want to contribute, let's say it this way. Since He's faithful, He'll take care of His children. And one of the interesting ways that he deems appropriate to take care of the family of God is through the family of God. So if you'd like to help them in any way, man, you can do that today, or get a card and you can, you know, connect with them there. And I love that we get to support a handful of missionaries, but I can also tell you, again, as an ex-missionary, that every little bit goes a long way. Well, I can only do this much. As an ex-missionary, man, every little bit goes a long way. So no pressure. But if the Lord puts that on your heart, is that pressure? I'm happy to pressure people for missionaries. Well, let's stand. Let's do that. What a great word. What a great reminder. I love reminders. And when you read through what Peter wrote in his various epistles, it's fascinating where he decided that he was going to remind them of the things that they already knew and in the things that they were already established. Like, you know these things, you know them well, you're established in them. So I'm reminding you of the things you already know. And Peter said, when it's time for me to depart, when I die, put off this tent and die, he wanted to make sure he had other people in place to provide other reminders, further reminders for the things that we already knew. What a great reminder of God's faithfulness. He will be faithful. For us as American citizens, on November 4th, God will still be faithful. Whatever that looks like the next day, he'll be faithful. Whatever your week looks like this week, whatever the difficulties we're facing, and I know there's so many people in our fellowship that are facing like surgery. Even one of our folks tomorrow will be in surgery. God is faithful, and he will be faithful. If you've fallen short, well, you're in good company. Company of sinners. We all fall short, and yet God is faithful. So as you leave here today and throughout the week, call upon that great reminder of his great faithfulness. He cannot and will not change. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Get out of here. Talk with the fams.